I'd like to say we're grateful to be here. Appreciate the opportunity to come out and speak to you here on this little island here in Belize. First time we've ever been here. I've never been to Belize before. This is the first time. And always count it a privilege to go into any place in the islands or anywhere else. And of course, this being kind of a peninsula, as you say, and yet it's not a peninsula in that it's setting way back in Cancun, but it's still kind of tropical in its appearance. It's good to be here. I think this is the first island I've ever been into that ever had such a small crowd. I don't think I've ever been into a place that had the tropical surrounding that ever had such a small crowd. But the Lord knows what He's doing. We've enjoyed ourselves in the different islands and the different places that we've been around the different parts of the world. We've been all over many places in the world and had some wonderful times in God. But we're glad that you're here. I think I'll talk with you just a few minutes to get acquainted with you. Some of you I'm acquainted with, some of you I'm not. You know, we need to know who comes in and out of our country. We need to be sure that we know who comes in and out our home or anywhere within our surroundings or our environment. It's very important that we know who comes. Many people may come and it may not amount to anything. They just come to have a revival, they come to fellowship, they come to have a good time, but it may not really mean anything. But then on the other hand, there may be somebody that comes that it has great significance, and in the event that we don't respond, then great sorrow comes our way. But it pays us to really know what's going on around us and who God is sending into us. As I say, on many occasions, and as a matter of fact, most occasions, God will send in somebody to stir us up a little bit, to awaken us, and to keep us revived. And then there are those rare occasions where when we do not respond as to the regular trend of salvation or religion or preaching, that God will do a special thing. And then when He makes a special move, then heartaches and sorrows are waiting for us because we didn't understand and we didn't rally and we didn't go with God. And such is the occasion. Such is the occasion. We're glad to be here. It's a real joy to be here. And all those people that's walking the street out there, up and down the streets in Belize here in the city tonight, as well as last night, they should have been here. Many people should be here tonight, but it is as it was in the times when Jesus came into Jerusalem. When He came into Jerusalem, He said, if thou had known the day of thy visitation, you know, if you'd have just understood the day of your visitation, then things would have been so different. But many times people fail to recognize the day of the visitation of the Lord. We're here, we come here because we wanted to talk with you a little bit, tell you about the wonderful things of God, and soon we'll be gone our way, and it'll be the same as any other minister that came in as far as people are concerned, you know. But as I say, there's definitely something different. There's something that's taking place, and we're here for a specific purpose. And even though I'll just talk to you just like any other brother would, no more than any other brother. I just come to talk with you. But we definitely need to know and understand the moving of the Spirit of God. We had a good time this morning at the Full Gospel Businessmen. As a matter of fact, I think I see a brother or two here that was at the Full Gospel Businessmen this morning. And we had a real good time. The Lord really blessed us. The Spirit of God moved. And we had a good time. Wherever we have been with the Full Gospel Businessmen around the different parts of the world or nation, whatever it was, we've always had a good time with them, and we've enjoyed fellowshipping them, and They've been a blessing to us, and we try to be a blessing to them. You know, you go to a lot of different places, and you meet a lot of different people. And the characteristics of people are fascinating, because everywhere you go, they are so different. Though God has fashioned all men's hearts alike, yet they're so different in their characteristics. A lot of their desires and things of life that they want, there's such a diversity. My wife was telling me today that we had gotten a letter that I didn't know anything about until today. She said we had received a letter from our trip over into the Holy Land. We'd been in the Holy Land a number of times, and there in little Bethlehem. I say little Bethlehem because we have a place called Little Bethlehem, about 60 acres there in the state of Georgia, where we publish the gospel around the world. Not little Bethlehem, but Bethlehem of Judea. Bethlehem over in the land of Israel. There the mayor became a friend of ours, and he wrote us a letter the other day. And was telling us that he had come over to visit in the States, a rare occasion. And he'd come as far as Atlanta, Georgia, and didn't know that we were close by in the area. He would have come out and visited with us. But he said, "Brother or Sister Pike, if had I known that you were that close by, I would have come and visited with you." But there in Bethlehem, we were there, and our people was there. We had a chance to give out a lot of literature, and we've had a chance to minister around in the areas of Jerusalem or different places there, having a good time in the Lord. And here, coming into Belize, is to our first time. We have come in here by radio, and some have heard us by the Atlantic Beacon or the Caribbean Beacon, but we've never been here other than that. A lot of literature has gone out since we have been in this area. And there is enough literature that has gone out, and there's been some advertisement, enough that the people should have rallied in a tremendous way. But, you know, God knows what He's doing. He doesn't make mistakes. That's the good thing about serving God. I've learned down through the years that He doesn't make mistakes. And if he doesn't prepare the hearts of the people to come, then He has a reason for it. And if you walk with God as a minister, you'll understand that, and you'll know the reason for it. But we're praying, since we're only going to be here tomorrow night, unless the Lord moves, we're praying something a little different will happen. Usually, on Sunday night, sometimes your crowd is small, even when you have good crowds, because people go to their own local assemblies. And sometimes we have afternoon services under the big tent in the event that we see that they need to be at their assemblies on Sunday night. But here, maybe it'll be different tomorrow night. I don't know. But I'm thankful to have you here. I appreciate you being here. And as I said, I've got lots of things that I would like to say to you. Lots of things. If I started to talking with you tonight concerning the things that I would like to expound to you, just to say a few of those things would take all night long. And then we only barely get started as to the wonderful hidden mysteries and the deep mysteries of the Son of God that He hath revealed to us and brought to us, and that He intends for the church to have. Most of the time on the field, we don't get to expound too much as concerning mysteries. Paul said, "I'm a preacher and a teacher." And a lot of times we just deal with salvation, and we deal with praying for the sick or whatever that we can do to help the people. A lot of times we're able to bring in clothing or give food or whatever. We'd hope to be able to do that here in Belize by bringing a ship in, and that God's blessed us with some ships. But so far, it hasn't worked out favorably. We hope to be able to get into the immigrants, which I understand is about 50 miles from here, according to what I heard either today or yesterday. But I want you to know we appreciate you being here, and whether we say just the average trend of things as to salvation and the praise of God, I hope that you'll enjoy it. And if we find a hungry heart, or if someone is stimulated and we feel the drawing us to the spirit of revelation, then Perhaps we might mention some of the deeper things of God. Paul said, the mysteries of God, of which I made a steward. And he exhorts us in his word that the church should pray for the spirit of revelation. You know, the church today needs the spirit of revelation. As we travel around the different parts of the world, even back on the home front around the United States, I find the same thing. The people need the spirit of revelation. And though they may be Christians, and though they may love God, and they might be diligent in searching for God, but at the same time, they need the spirit of revelation. Paul, the great apostle, after about 3 years or more in the Arabian desert, returned in the power of the Spirit as to the spirit of revelation. And then he made mention that such a one as he knew was caught up into the third heaven. Into the third heaven. You know, the Bible tells us to study to be quiet, that we might hear the voice, the tender voice of the dove of Christ. And we come to church to learn. The Bible teaches that we should know how to conduct ourselves in the house of the living God, wherever we designate a place. You know, as coming in with thanksgiving and with praise, entering into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, and to be still, that we might know God, and that we might come to understand that wonderful, small, still voice, even the voice that spoke to Elijah. The days of Elijah, the fire came, but God wasn't in it. And the wind rent the rocks, and a great noise, but God wasn't in it. And then after a while, a small, still voice came, and said, Elijah, Elijah. And then he was made to know God and understand God's purpose. So let me say again, we speak of the things of God. This morning I made reference to this, speaking to the full gospel businessman. Some things concerning the first heaven, the second heaven, the third heaven. A lot of people, you know, that are religious, that go to church, and they don't even know anything about the first heaven. And when you talk about a second and a third heaven, they're completely at a loss. They don't even know what you're saying. But nevertheless, Paul spoke of someone being caught up into the third heaven. And he said there was things that were said to him that he could not utter. And of course, I understand why he could not utter that in his day. But we're living way down from Paul's day. We're way over here in the end time. And things that come now, I could not say to you that there are things that I am not to utter. Because in the day that we're living in, this is the day of the utterance. You know, in the day of Daniel, the Spirit of God spoke to Daniel and said, Daniel, these things that I've shown you, said, seal up the book unto the end time. Seal up the book, for this is for the time of the end. And though Daniel sought to understand, Daniel did not understand. But then we find later, when John came along in 96 A.D., was exiled to the Isle of Patmos, and God began to speak to him, the same things that he spoke to Daniel, he began to speak to John. And he said, John, see that you don't seal these things up. He said, don't seal these things up. That it is not as it was in Daniel's day. This is not a sealed thing. There's not a veil over it anymore. Calvary has brought us the rent veil. And that which was secret in God is now revealed. And now it's made known to the church. Paul said, the manifold wisdom of God, even unto the heavenly places. And we receive now this heavenly treasure in these earthen vessels. That is this wonderful knowledge of God that spoke the world into existence, that created you and I, that made the diamonds and the pearls, that made the great ocean and the stars, that made the gold and the silver, that made everything, created everything, this wonderful knowledge that brought it to be or spoke it into existence is now made known to human beings. And the Bible said they marveled. People marveled even in the day of Paul and in the day of Jesus when they said such wisdom being given unto mankind. But it is made known unto us. And we can have it. The only thing is we have to pray for the spirit of revelation. The Bible teaches that we should do that. And if we contend for the faith in praying for the spirit of revelation, then these wonderful treasures can be brought to us. But if we're contented just to drift along as church people and go down the road of the usual routine, no real conformity to Christ, but just being complacent and satisfied with our usual trend of religion, if we choose to do that, we can never have the mysteries of God. We can never have the power of God. We can never have the things of God that He's wanting us to know. And another thing is, we'll never make the translation. There's one thing, I hope you don't mind me talking to you just a few minutes. There's one thing that we need to understand, and that is that sitting around waiting for the rapture, as we call it, or the translation, then that is not going to take us to heaven. Just sitting around waiting, saying that I'm a Christian, I have been born again, I'm going to make it into the kingdom of God, that's not going to be sufficient. The Bible says that every man will be rewarded according to his works. And so then we find there's more to it. Paul tells us that, and there is an inward power of God that is given to us. And this power is revealed to us from faith to faith, from glory to glory, from one understanding to another understanding, from one inspiration to another inspiration. And when we say rapture, we are so carried away with the man-made applications of life until we don't know any different. As a matter of fact, we never bother to find out anything. We just take it from the minister, or we take it that that's the way it is because everybody has said that. But in all reality, there's no such word as rapture in the Bible. You don't find any such word. It's like we use the terms millennium. There is no such terms. But knowing that the millennium has to do with a number, as to thousands, as to when we speak of millennium, as to numerical order, as to a thousand years, then a lot of times we intellectually use that application. Knowing that the word rapture means to be caught away or to caught up, we intellectually apply that a lot of times in teaching, the catching away. But in all reality, there is no such Bible as teaching rapture. It teaches that we are changed from faith to faith and from glory to glory, and that we are translated by faith into the marvelous kingdom of God. And the Bible tells us that Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. So then, there's more to it than just sitting around waiting for what we call the rapture. We're going to have to apply ourselves. And just like children in school, starting as from an elementary side of life, they have to move on into a greater place in life. They have to move as they graduate from one stage of life to another, and as to their understanding. That is moving from the elementary side of life, they go on to a diplomacy, to where they can really apply themselves and have some benefit in life. See, and this is the way it is with God. The Bible tells us that all of the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly understood by the things which do appear, even to the eternal Godhead, so that we are without excuse. That means that all things that are in the invisible world are clearly understood by every natural thing around you. But you have to be spiritual to be able to understand. You have to walk with God for Him to reveal it to you. For instance, let's just take one or two things here before we read the scripture. Just one or two things. Let's look at it. Paul the apostle, who said that he had the revelation of Jesus Christ, all the revelation of the Son of God. How many of you know there is a revelation? God spoke to John, spoke of the revelation. We call it the revelation of St. John the Divine. But the Bible said it was the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave unto Jesus Christ, unto Him, to show His servants that which must shortly come to pass. And the Bible said the Holy Ghost will show you things to come. Though God has in time past spoken unto the people by the prophets, but He hath in this last day spoken through the body of Christ, or to us by His Son, the Lord Jesus. Ye are members in particular of that body. So then Paul, he speaks of this, and he speaks of Abraham. Now when you and I read about Abraham and Sarah, we just read a story, and here was Father Abraham, and here was Sarah. You know, and that's as far as it goes. And we tell about the wonderful things of Abraham and wonderful things of Sarah, and how that they've done all these wonderful things, and he was the father of the faithful, and how that God blessed him, and how that he offered up his son, you know, as a sacrifice there upon the mountain, how great and mighty his faith was. But when the great, mighty Paul, with his revelation, spoke of Sarah, he didn't just call her Sarah. He didn't just call Abraham Abraham. He spoke of Sarah as being that represented New Jerusalem. He said, and Sarah, which represents New Jerusalem, the mother of us all. And then when he spoke of Hagar, he didn't just speak of her as a bondsmaid, a common woman that had married into the family of Abraham. He said, but this woman is typical. Said she is an allegoric type of that which is now. He said, as to that which answereth to Mount Sinai, that which is in bondage with her children. Paul spoke of her as being a bondsmaid that was typical of a nation or of a people that was in bondage. And then he brought it out like this. Do you desire, again, to be in bondage to the beggarly elements of the world? See, so I said that to say this, that there are great mysterious things. There are great wonderful things. All of the invisible things of God, they are understood by these things which do appear. So then Paul, being a revelator, Paul being spiritual, he understood that Sarah, that she represented something in the earth. And the thing that she represented in the earth was that great, beautiful city called New Jerusalem. I think that's wonderful, don't you? Don't it make you wonder what you represent in the earth? What is God doing with you? Who are you? You know, Jesus said on one occasion, who do men say that I am? And they said, well, they say you're Elijah. Some say that you are John the Baptist, has risen from the dead. Some speak of you as one of the prophets. He said, but Peter said, who do you think I am? Who do you think I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you. He said, but my Father, which is in heaven. That is to say, this is a revelation. This is not an indoctrination. This is not something that a man gets out of seminary. But he said, Peter, this is something that's revealed in the Spirit. And then the Bible tells us that God has great things for us. He says that these things that God has for us is higher above, like as to our understanding of the heavens, it is so high above us. We don't understand the celestial. And as the heavens is above the earth, so is the knowledge of God above man. See, it is so great. And the Bible said, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of mankind at any time the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. So then I say that again to bring a point out here. And that is why while the people of Belize, speaking of the local area, while the people of Belize are wandering up and down the streets in their gullible desire for the tangible side of life, and while their minds are being drowned by the beat of the drums and the wild music, and all these things that are not edifying out there. You know, Paul said, all things are lawful to me, but all things don't edify. They're not expedient. And while these people are roaming up and down the streets under the bondage of the beggarly elements of this life, these things have literally overpowered their minds and have seized upon their bodies, and they're enslaved by these things, and they're caught in the environment and the entanglement of these things. And by circumstantial environments, they're bound tight. As I said in the service this morning, like the spider web in the early morning, sunlight with the dewdrops sparkling, the little flies on there and he bounces up and down. He thinks he's all right. He thinks he's having a good time until he gets bound tighter and tighter, and then all of a sudden the spider closes in for the kill. See, and that's the way it is with Lucifer. He's the prince of this world. And the Bible says that if the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father is not there. Folks, let's don't confuse things with God. We may feel that we can mix darkness with light, and we may feel that we can go out and partake of the things of the world and be part of the world, and God is still going to love us and take us into his marvelous kingdom. But I tell you in the name of the Lord, it isn't that way at all. See, if you have the love of the world in you, you don't have the love of God there. Those people that are roaming up and down the streets, they don't have the love of God. There's no need of those people talking about God loving everybody. Listen just a moment now. Somebody says, but Brother Pike, God loves everybody. I want to ask you a question. I just want to take a few minutes and keep talking with you till we get acquainted. Somebody says, God loves everybody. All right, so God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So he did. And his blood was shed at Calvary to take away the sins of the world. Isn't that right? But on the other hand, let me ask you a question. The Bible said, ye that forget God, beware, lest I tear you into pieces. I said, that's what the Bible says. You know, Satan quoted a scripture one time to Jesus, and Jesus didn't deny it, but he said, it's also written. It is written that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But it is also written, beware ye that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. And it is also written that the offering of the wicked is abomination in my sight. And it is also written that the Bible said the wicked is like the troubled waters of the sea, that's ever casting their mire up upon the bank. And it is also written, he said, and ye think I'm altogether such a one as you are, but someday I will meet you face to face, and that as a bear that has been robbed of her cubs. So beware lest I tear you into pieces. Now, then the thought is this, if God loves everybody the way that we try to make it appear that God loves everybody, then that's confusing. And the Bible teaches that confusion is not of God. That is to say, if I had a shotgun and the shotgun was loaded, and I was on your trail and I followed you day after day trying to blow your brains out, and I kept telling Brother Taylor, I'd say, I love that fella, I love that fella, I love that fella, just waiting to get to blow his brains out, that would be a strange sort of a love, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be a strange sort of a love? See, God said, I will pursue you until you perish from off of the face of the earth. For I am angry with the wicked every day. So then the grace of God is to us because of the blood of his precious Son. But God is angry with the wicked every day. And God is just waiting the moment to completely annihilate the wicked. As a matter of fact, the Bible said, speaking of Sodom and Gomorrah, that being a type of what God would do in the end time, the Bible said that the very day that Lot went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, as to the righteous, God rained fine brimstone down upon that place. Maybe you've never been there. I've been to the spot where he rained the fire and brimstone down. See, still then we wonder about these things. We're made a lot of times. We're made to wonder why that this thing is like that. Folks, there's only one way out. That's to love God. There's only one way out. That's to repent of your sins. God will destroy the wicked. The wicked can think what they want to. They can do what they want to. But God will destroy the wicked. If a man doesn't repent of his sins and come to God, God will destroy him. And we're living in a day now. This day that we're living in now, the judgments are drawing closer and closer and closer. And in that it is an enlightened day, and more we're learning about God and God's ways, and more people are squandering things, and they are evasive as to God's desire. And quicker, the judgments are coming. Long years ago, the judgments were slow because we didn't know much about God. God didn't require much. You know, the Bible said, to whom much is given, I will require the more. So then, there wasn't much required because we were like babies. God didn't require much of us. But folks, we know a whole lot about God now. People in Belize are not ignorant. I've talked to these people. You know, this is not a bunch of ignorant people in Belize. These people know about God. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and full-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up. Now listen, folks. For this cause. What cause? Because they had not a love for the truth. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the man, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves, listen to this now, the recompense of their error, which was meet, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, it says that God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now listen, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Listen to this. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest, and other thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doeth the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? It says, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasure up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continue in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, for there is no respect of person with God. Now, folks, to me, this makes me to understand that God is not playing a game. These things that I said to you just a few minutes ago, this makes me to know that God isn't playing a game. God is telling Brother Pike that though he's over here in Georgia, in the United States, and all of these people, Brother Taylor, Brother Armstrong and the others, he's saying to me, you're going to have to live right. You're going to have to do right. There is a way of God that is right. There is a godly way. There is a holy way. And Brother Pike, you're going to have to do that if you ever get to heaven. If you ever get into the kingdom of God, if you ever have the faith of Christ that will translate your spirit or your inner man into this kingdom of God, you're going to have to do right, boy. You're going to have to do right, Brother Armstrong. You're going to have to do right, Brother Taylor. And he's saying to the Belizeans the same thing. He's saying, Pastor, you're going to have to do right. You're going to have to live right. And he's saying to the laity, and he's saying to the deacons, you're going to have to live for God. You're going to have to do right. There is some other way than just roaming up and down the streets, eating and drinking and being gullible in the desires of these things of this world. You're going to have to get the love of the world out of you. You're going to have to be a different people. And you're going to have to come out and be a separate people, that people can see the light of God in your life. And you're going to have to let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Isn't that right? See, God is expecting something out of us. I go into places like Haiti. We've been there when we've had hundreds and multiplied hundreds of people that would come in there for us to preach to and to pray for. Those people we say are heathens. Somebody says they're heathens. Brother Pike, they don't know anything about God. But let me tell you, God requires of the Haitians whatever they know. God requires of the Belizeans whatever they know. When I go into Grand Cayman, when I go into Jamaica, the other islands, when I preach to them, God requires of them just exactly what they know. Folks, whatever you know here, whatever you've been taught here, as to the righteousness of God, as to the Word of God, God requires it of you. And as you move on with God and you do those things, and God's got other things that He wants you to know. And if we move on with God, God will bring us into the great secrets of God. He'll bring us into the mysteries of God. And He'll let us have these wonderful hidden mysteries that will actually translate our spirit into the wonderful kingdom of God and change these bodies, as Paul said, at the coming of that last trump, at the sounding of that last trump, when the Lord appears in heaven with a shout and with the voice of God, the trump of God, the voice of the archangel appearing there, the Bible said, and in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that we'll be changed from this mortal body into that immortal body. And we're looking forward to that. But folks, I say again, there is something we must do.
You know, I say, look, I'm in school. Somebody would say, well, what are you going to school or college for? I say, I'm going because I want a diplomacy. I want to get this understanding that will make me something outstanding out yonder where I want to have to work so hard. You know, so where I can use a little bit of my understanding to make a living. Now, I'm going to school, but all of a sudden I'm a dropout. I stop. I don't continue on. Am I then going to get a diploma? Are they going to award me a diploma? They won't give me a diploma. I've got to stay in there with it. I've got to do as the Bible said, by patience. I've got to have patience in God. And I've got to keep on moving with God. And I've got to keep on looking to God and expecting of God that He'll do something for me. That God will come into my heart. God will enlarge my understanding. And God will cause me to be more and more like my Savior Jesus. To follow in His steps, He that did no sin, and neither was guile found in His mouth. So then He is our example. Tonight we're following Him, and this is the Word of God. See, if this is the Word of God, I brought out some things this morning. It might have been a little bit hard for some of them to understand it, the full gospel businessmen. Maybe not. Maybe some of them was learned in it. But it's like I told them this morning. You know, Brother Fike comes here to preach, or you might come to the States to preach. Now, it's like this. If all I ever know is what I understand, if all I ever know is what I have tutored myself in, if all I ever know is just exactly what I possess in my intelligence, then I'm not going to be very big, folks. And if I always close out every minister, every voice, everything that I hear, and I'm self-conceited to the extent that I'm just taking what I know and what I think about it, you know, and I mock everything that comes along, and I tell somebody that's close to me, you know, all about how this is no good, and you know, I've got the answer, and this kind of thing, you know how foolish people can be. I'm never going to grow in the grace and knowledge of God, and I'm never going to be any bigger. I'm never going to know anything else. But I tell you what, if I listen to this brother when he comes along, and I listen to what he has to say, and then I listen to Brother Armstrong and to what he's got to say, and then I listen to the pastor over here as to what he's got to say, you know, I can eat the pie and spit out the seed, as somebody said. I can listen, and after a while, you know, I'll grow in the grace and knowledge of God, and I'll be bigger than ever. I'll grow bigger and bigger because I'll be listening to you, and I'll be listening to somebody else, and I'll say, my God, I never knew that. See, and so I'm bigger and bigger, like putting air in a balloon. I'm bigger and bigger in God. And this is what we've got to do, folks. A lot of times we come together, there's a controversy. Maybe the preacher does say something we don't understand. Or maybe there's something said in conversation that we don't understand. But we shouldn't rise up and say, oh, he's an ignoramus, there's nothing to that. You know, we know everything. We shouldn't be like that. But what we should do is say, wait a minute, I don't know. You know, it's like this. I can't possibly move in any direction, in any way, with anything, unless I can understand it. God doesn't expect you to do that. You know, if you're founded in the gospel, if you have an understanding of righteousness and the simplicity of the gospel has been brought to you, and you're growing up into that, and you're going to church, and you've got a pastor, and he's doing the best he knows how to do, stay with it. Work with him. Do everything you can. See, because that's the way to do it, and you'll become a greater life. See, and you can't take anything in until you understand it. You might hear something. You can't just reach out there and grab it and say, well, I believe it because he said it. You can't do that. See, because if you do, you'll make your faith shipwreck. You can't do that. You've got to stay right where you're at. Stay with what you've got. But everything else that comes along, analyze that thing. Test that thing. Give it the Bible test. Give it the Word test. Try that spirit. And then after a while, you might not understand it now, but after a while, you will understand it. Maybe it's something good from God. You know, like a fellow came to me not too long ago. It's been numbers of years. He's heard some things that I preached, heard of them, and he couldn't believe them. But all of a sudden, after numbers of years, he said something seized his heart. He said, Brother Pike, something got a hold of me. He said, in those things that you say, he said, I now understand what you were saying. And he cherished those things. See, we might throw away a diamond. We might throw away a ruby. We might throw away something great. As it was said here concerning the Carolinas, you know, in the Carolinas over the state, we have some Carolinians here. It was said that up in the Carolinas on one occasion, there was a man that had, he needed a doorstep. So he went out and he found him a great rock. And he brought it, he made him a doorstep out of it. And there, day after day, he went in and out his dwellings, he stepped on this great big doorstep. And one day a man came by and he got to noticing this doorstep. And as he began to examine this doorstep, he found out that this doorstep that had been trotted over and walked over and left muddy was a huge ruby. A huge ruby. The man had wealth untold and had no idea. You know that that's what it was. And a lot of times you throw away something and you don't know what you're doing. You know, I look at you tonight, I don't know who you are unless God reveals you to me. You may be the great potential of the man or the woman that's going to do a work for God like nobody ever has. You know, great mighty men that's around the world today, great men that you listen to. Why, one day those men sit out in the congregation just like you're doing, volunteer just like I am. See, but they were of that great potentiality that was going to make them a person of renown. Look at Abraham. Just a plain fellow. That's all he was. Never dreaming he'd be the father of the faithful. Never dreaming that he'd be called Father Abraham. Look at Moses. Look at Paul. Look at the great ones that we look back on down through the years. Why, they never knew that. See, look at Elijah. These great men. But all of a sudden, see, just some little shepherd boy like David out on the hillside, sitting out there playing on his harp. Why, he didn't know who he was going to be. He didn't know he was King David. He was just a shepherd out on the hillside. You don't know who you are tonight. But brethren, I'll tell you one thing. When you're born again, you're the sons and daughters of God. And I'll tell you what, I'd love to preach. I wished I had about 10 hours just to preach on what a son of God really is. See, but you don't know. David on the hillside, he had no idea what he was. But when that bear came along and was after those sheep, something come on David, and all of a sudden David found he was something that he didn't realize he was. And when the lion roared, instead of David running away as the ordinary would have done, why, he just stood there. Something come on him. Like Samson, you know. Samson, if that lion had roared at me, I'd have been gone. I'd have been gone. Unless God come on me like Samson, I'd have been gone. And I got a feeling that Samson would have been gone too. I've been over to the place where that lion came and where he roared at Samson. I was standing there. I ain't been too far back. And I thought, my lands, if that lion had come out there, God is for sure you'd have to done something from Brother Pike. That's for sure. But see, look at Elijah. When Jezebel got after Elijah, why, Elijah run like a little pup. Isn't that right? He run for his life. But when the mighty Spirit of God, when the anointing of God began to come upon Elijah, Elijah boldly went back and said, go tell the king Elijah's here. See, there was something there. He wasn't afraid anymore. He walked before the king. He walked before Jezebel. He walked before those prophets of Baal. And he said, I'll draw you to a contest right here. Right here. He said, we'll prove who's who. See, just before that had run and been hid for numbers of years. I said that to say this. God has his hands on you. If you're calling on the name of the Lord, you don't know who you are. You don't know what you're going to do. You don't know what's waiting for you in the future. You don't know what great thing that you might do to glorify God and to deliver humanity. Moses, a little old boy, down there in the bulrush, as he grew up as a little fellow, he had no idea who he was. But one day the voice of God said, Moses, Moses, the hour's here. And then came that mighty anointing of God. And then came that understanding, that great mighty understanding that was to deliver a nation and to become a memorial forever, the great mighty Moses. The same way with Daniel. I'm going to say just a few things here in close because I took quite a long time just talking to you before I read the scripture. But Daniel, look at Daniel, the Hebrew children. When Daniel went down into the lion's den, what would you have done, folks? What would I have done? If they'd have dropped me down into a den of hungry lions, what in the world would I have done? But see, Daniel wasn't worried. You know why Daniel wasn't worried? Because he'd already talked to God. He knew he hadn't done anybody any wrong. He knew that he'd live right before God. Folks, this is the importance of living right before God. See, this thing is a faith. And the only way I can have faith, John said, I have to do the things that please God. And when I do this hereby, I assure my heart before God that I do the things that please him, and then do I have confidence toward God, which is faith, and whatever I ask of God, I get. See, Daniel had done those things. Daniel had prayed. They threatened him. They said, no, you can't do that. Look, you can't do that. But you know, he went right on. A lot of times, that's what the devil does. He said, you can't do that, but you go right on anyway, don't you? So then he said, you can't do that, Daniel, but Daniel went right on anyway. And when Daniel went into the lion's den, when they threw Daniel in there with those hungry lions, Daniel just turned his eyes toward heaven. He hadn't done anybody any harm. and his faith went up to God, and the angel of God literally came down into that place and locked the mouth of the lions. Locked the mouth of the lions, and they couldn't do anything. There they were, they couldn't do anything. And when the morning came, the old king, knowing how that they had tricked him, how that they'd misused him to put Daniel in there, he prayed that night, he fasted that night. The next morning, he went out there, he said, "Hey, Daniel, is everything all right?" "Long live the king, hallelujah, everything's okay." We're interested in doing something for God, and we're trying in our little way to share not only with the gospel, but our brethren have just not too long ago sent more than 13,000 garments down into Mexico to those people down there. The governor's wife took those clothing, and to those people that were in the flood, these clothes were sent. And then down in Mexico City during the great earthquake there was a busload of clothing that was sent down there. And just recently down to Bartow, Florida, right at 15,000 garments were sent down there to all kinds of families of Indians and Spanish and all kinds of people. There are immigrants that's coming in. And I'm very sorry to say that we haven't been able to do that here in Belize, or that is to the immigrants here, but I'd sure like to. We were able to take a few things over to the prison, and on a Monday, the good Lord willing, we're supposed to minister there at the prison. I count it a real privilege to minister to prisoners. Jesus said, "I was a prisoner. You know, I was in prison and you visited me not. I was sick." He said, "You didn't come to me. I was naked and you didn't clothe me." And the Bible said, "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, that you visit the widows and the orphans in their afflictions, and then come out of the world, be a separate people, and keep yourself unspotted from the world." All right, let's sing a little chorus together, brother. This is an old song. Most of you, I suppose, know this song. Well, let's sing that song, Brother Taylor, "Sweep Over My Soul." This is an old song. They sing it back in the state. Maybe you Belizeans know it's here. A lot of times in different countries, I find they know different songs. But let's see if we can sing this one together. "Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. O'er my rest it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul." See if we can sing it like this now. "For I've anchored my soul in God's haven. I'll rest and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe." Can you sing it with me again? "Evermore. For we've anchored our souls in God's haven, and we'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore." Can you say amen? Can we give the Lord a hand? Can we do that? Can we? Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah.